When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the first of our Ashes daily podcast. I'm Yaz Ryan, and with me a few minutes after Stumps on day one at Edgbaston is cricket writer and dear friend of the show, Jim Wallace. Jim, there's just so much to take in. England scoring nearly 400 on the first day, declaring 8 wickets down, that split opinion. Zach Crawley pummeling Pat Cummins through covers for 4.
How long ago does that feel?
Of the day, what moment that was. I just got a sense all day that this was a day that mattered. Like, so much, I think, the English cricketing public kind of care how England does, but they're not really, really invested. And today, the atmosphere was just electric from minute one.
Yeah, I mean, that was really special to be part of that, to be here on that first day. You know, the whole thing, really, I sort of feel a bit like I've got jet lag or something. I mean, just so much happened that even just saying that Crawley bound, I was like, was that this morning? Yeah, that was this morning. Just a bit mad. I don't really know. From what I've gathered, so I've been on the Guardian's OBO coverage, there's a lot of split decision about the declaration, but also I just think people don't really know how to feel about it all. There's just so much has gone on, they don't really know how to process it.
Yeah, I thought all day the speed of play was so quick. England were 240 for 5, I think, at tee, which is a pretty normal end of day score. And because of how quickly all of England's partnerships started, every time England lost a wicket, you kind of felt, oh, England might be slightly behind in the game here. But all of a sudden you felt, actually, maybe they're at parity, maybe they're slightly ahead. We'll get to kind of how we feel about the day overall towards the end. Going back to the beginning, Pat Cummins retreated extremely early with his fields. On the 15th ball of the game, there were 2 slips and 3 men on the boundary. And you can argue it both ways, really. I mean, I think the deep point played a part in the Duckett dismissal. That's the second time in 3 games that he's been caught in the cordon or by the keeper. Playing that shot with the man on the fence is just a much riskier shot for less reward, really. But when Crawley and Pope were in together, it felt like they could score at 5 runs and over in quite a risk-free way, actually.
It was a really interesting first session, because obviously you had all the intensity building up to that first ball, and then Crawley smashes it away, and you know, we're all sort of chuckling away thinking, wow, what a start. And then, Cummins brought his men back. It was sort of like baggy greens in Brownian motion. It was like the field was really, really spread. I heard Atherton on Sky commentary saying he thought that, you know, that was the Aussies blinking first, and they looked a bit spooked, perhaps.
Well, Ricky Ponting was quite critical of it on Sky as well.
It's not the way that things are done, is it? But, I mean, nothing is the way that things are done anymore. But it was certainly, and then it settled into this sort of period of England were picking off the singles and, you know, rotating the strike, and it all looked quite comfortable. It all looked sort of like a mid-overs ODI or something like that. And then lunch came. Australia probably would have been happy to have 3 wickets. And then, that afternoon 2 sessions was just a bit bonko, really.
I think the 2 moments of the game for me in terms of where the game might end up were the dismissals of Pope and Crawley. I think so. Because I think, I mean, according to CricViz, the average lateral movement, so that seam and swing, was 0.89 degrees. It doesn't mean much to me, but according to them, that is the lowest recorded on any day of Test cricket in England since records began in 2006. Okay. And as such, I think part of the declaration, I think, might be an acknowledgement that even if Root and Robinson put on an extra 30, 40 runs, that's probably still below par. And England's best route to win the game was taking a couple of early wickets tonight. And even though they didn't do that, I don't think that's necessarily the wrong decision. I mean, to go back to those 2 moments, because I thought Crawley and Pope were batting really, really well. The ball from Lyon to get rid of Pope does him with a slightly quicker, slightly flatter ball. And the ball from Boland, who England got on top of after lunch, to get Crawley was such a good ball, kind of popped from nowhere. I think the real test for England tomorrow will be, can they produce those kind of moments where it's really, really flat, the ball's not doing much? Can they prize out wickets when the pitch isn't doing that much? Because I think those are the 2 moments that kind of shifted. England were always playing catch-up, even with that partnership with Bairstow late in the day. between Root and Bairstow. I think they were always playing catch up after those two wickets.
And I think that's the interesting thing, is that we don't really know, obviously, but it could be that we'll look back on this declaration as something inspired, or it could be like, wow, remember when we did that, and England did that rather, and remain impartial. England, Stokes did that, and Steve Smith and Labuschagne, and they bat for 2 days, and you know, and we're coming out the other side sort of feeling a bit sort of broken and beaten. But it was certainly, it felt like the ebb and flow of it, both sides were sort of grappling with each other. There was a couple of wickets with Stokes and who was it? Stokes and someone, and Brook.
I mean, yeah.
Brook's dismissal.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Fell in a clump, yeah. And then there was partnerships, and there were sixers, and there was Joe Root batting like a proper test innings in amongst it all, but also playing reverse ramps off Pat Cummins for six. So it was just a lot to process.
Yeah, I think if England lose a test match, it's not because of the declaration. I think this pitch reminds me of maybe the Trent Bridge pitch last year, where New Zealand scored 500 in the first innings, England responded with 500, but because of the pace England batted with, they were able to force a result despite those two really high scores. I think if England win this game, a really interesting stat I found today was that in the last 10 years, Australia haven't been bowled out for a score of between 310 and 480 against England. Okay. So base in England.
How do you find this stuff?
So when the pitch is flat, they basically really, really make hay.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's doing a bit, they tend not to make 350-ish scores. And I kind of think that pitch, if you had to make a judgment on it on day one, it's probably a pitch where Smith, Labuschagne, Head, etc. will fancy themselves to score 500.
And that's the worry, right? Because we were both at Lord's for the Ireland test. There are times in that second innings where England looked a bit toothless, and they've gone in here without Wood, the Broad, Robinson, and Anderson, who didn't bowl this evening. That was another interesting point. And Robinson, perhaps, he'd looked a bit off the boil tonight. And so, they have to find a way to take the wickets. The thing about Bazball, or whatever you want to call it, is that they keep taking 20 wickets. It will be a real test on that flat feather bed. It was to get 20 wickets in this match. I mean, it'll be certainly one to keep an eye on, because we might be watching a lot of what's the old Smith's testicles, wallet and watch, a lot of that, and a lot of Marnus and Travis Head and their batting lineup. So it feels like everyone's smiling and happy, but there's just something at the back of my mind sort of nagging, saying enjoy today, because it might be a long couple of days.
I mean, it's interesting you say that we're all smiling. Rory Dollard of the PA, when we were talking about the declaration after it happened, he said, summed up really well, he said, look at our faces, we're all smiling.
Yeah.
And I think that is actually important. It was a thing that, the energy around the place, had Broad got Warner early, this place would have gone
crazy.
Yeah,
it would have gone nuts.
You can't judge the decision purely on the fact that Broad
didn't
get
Warner.
But I
think they do, though, don't they? They're like, wouldn't it be great if we got two tonight?
Exactly.
And, my phone, my brother was saying, we're going to get three wickets tonight and this is going to be amazing. And then on the other end of the spectrum, my cynical mate Tom was like, that declaration is the most shamefully try-hard thing I've ever seen in my life watching cricket. So
personally, I did get it. I think I would have batted for another 10 minutes or so, because you would have still got that crack with a new ball. Yeah. Part of the thinking is if you declare, you get two cracks of the new ball, one this evening, one tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
They could still have got that if they allowed Root and Robinson. Yeah. They were going so quickly as well as anything else.
Like that,
they could have put on
25, sixes,
30
right?
runs, exactly.
Yeah.
There was an interesting email, we've been quite negative given that England scored 400.
That's what you get when you get me on here, a bit of melancholy.
We've got an email.
Sad dads.
We got an email from Hugh who said, I've been a little bit amused by all the Bazball doom-mongering, but something worth highlighting are Boland's figures thus far. He's going over 5.5 and over and hasn't looked anywhere near as threatening as he did at the Kier Oval in the World Test Championship final. This should be a textbook example of Bazball, how England approach tests now. They're not just going to let a relentless metronomic bowler dictate them. They're going to land some blows and try and put him off his line length, thus also creating more conventional scoring opportunities. It's a good point. Boland was going at 1.5-2s in the World Test final. And England, particularly after the lunch, you could sense they made a decision that we're going to move our feet. We're going to unsettle him. And it worked, to be honest. That's the only time I've seen Scott Boland look at all unsettled as a test cricketer.
And a lot of the noise, obviously, leading up to it is, Boland's going to sort sort England out. There's something in the magazine the other week that Tim Key wrote. He was basically like a tongue-in-cheek thing saying, it feels like sometime, somewhere, Scott Bolland's always taking 9 for 16. and today was interesting because it was the first time that perhaps he's had to, you know, he doesn't play white ball cricket, that he's had to sort of stare down the barrel of people coming at him quite so hard, and it must be off-putting. I remember speaking to Joe Harmon, pod regular, last week at the Oval, and saying, I don't know about Bolland, he might sort England out. And Joe Harmon, who's hardly, you know, the most sort of, you know, he doesn't ooze Bazball, said, yeah, but no one's tried to smack him yet. Yeah. So it definitely is a thing, and he did look out of sorts today. Yeah. He looked a bit rattled.
Just a few things in Australia before we finish. I thought Hazelwood was really good. That's his first away wicket in 4 years, which I couldn't really believe.
Yeah.
I thought Lyon, even though he got pumped a little bit towards the end, I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was creating chances, and even when he was going for runs, you always felt that he was in the game. Interesting that Cam Green didn't bowl so much, so they're obviously managing his workload a little bit. I thought it was interesting that Pat Cummins didn't necessarily bowl as much, or looked potentially as threatening as you'd come to expect Pat Cummins to be. I thought it was actually quite loose with the new ball. I think there was... It was interesting to see how the Australian bowlers were at the very start of the series.
Yeah, it was... Hazelwood looked him phenomenal, Nick. He looked a bit ginger in the outfield. Did you see him on the boundary? But again, but with the ball in his hand, he was Mr. Economical. He was the pick of the bowlers. On Cummins as well, I thought that there were shades of... did you see him in India when he was bowling out there? Few drag downs and just looked a bit irritable. Obviously, last week he kicked the ball away and stuff. Maybe that's a pressure thing. Maybe he's just not in good rhythm. But, it was noticeable that the Aussies weren't quite as on it today as they were perhaps last week at the Oval.
I think it's finally just worth reiterating.
We're getting more positive now, aren't we?
What a crazily good day of cricket that was. There's so much packed into it, and I would say Australia are mildly on top, but at the end of the day, another test to compare this to would be the first test in 2015 at Cardiff, where Joe Root also scored 100, and England scored 430 first innings and ended up winning it by about 100 or so runs. I think it's finally, Jim, just how good was Joe Root today? You've seen Joe Root score many test hundreds. Yeah. How do you compare that, what we saw today, to what we've seen previously?
Again, just hard to process what was going on out there, because like he was at the other end with all the wickets falling. He looked serene. His driving, his footwork was crisp as ever. So it was like a proper Joe Root test innings. There was nothing out of the ordinary until the afternoon when he started getting his reverse ramp out. And I don't really, it's not even really a ramp, it's sort of a lift scoop, stair lift. And he's doing it to Pat Cummins, you know, and he's doing it, and it's flying away deep into the crowd for six. It's just like, what I thought was lovely is that at the start of this whole thing, this mad experiment, Root was sort of saying, I'm not really sure how I fit into this side. And everyone was just saying, well, you just bat like Joe Root and we'll just bat around you. And that's exactly what happened today. He held it all together, take his runs out of that. And that's, you know, we're maybe a bit more downtrodden than perhaps we've alluded to being. But he's really meant that it's honours even, and you know, an exciting start to the test match. Yeah, just dead chuff for him, really.
I think you're right, honours even. If England get a couple of wickets early tomorrow, it suddenly feels completely different, and the ball is still very, very much brand new and hard. Well, Jim, thanks for joining me on what has been an incredibly entertaining first day of the 2023 Men's Ashes. If the rest of the series is anything as entertaining as it was today, we're in for one hell of a treat.
I'll have gone grey or...
Podcast Network.